It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk.
Welcome to hour two of the show. At 11:30, Michael Carroll will join us to discuss what you should watch this weekend. And like I said before, I'm going to spring this on him. Not that he has to be ready for it for this week, but he is going to at some point give us the best things you should be excited about for the summer. It's that time. Like, June is going to be filled with so many things, at least the people who call this show and their interests. June's going to fit their interests, so we'll discuss that with him and get him prepared to provide a list for us to set us up for the month of June and July as the summer continues. But I did want to get to the NBA and what happened last night. I mentioned that both one seeds lost, and I'm not surprised by how the Celtics game went, particularly when it hit halftime and they were tied. I think I said it before that if you can get the Celtics in an actual game and keep them from running away from you, their flaws start to show up. They didn't shoot well from three overall, particularly in the second half, and the Cavs were great. People might start to make a comparison to what happened in game two against the Heat. A couple of things I would take and say from that particular argument. The Heat were decimated by injuries. They had a good night that night. Sure, they shot the ball historically, but when Tyler Hero is the best player on the floor, sure, that's an outlier. Donovan Mitchell being the best player on the floor three more times isn't an outlier if it happens. He's capable of doing that. So I would cut that comparison off right there with that point. And also, the Cavs are healthier. Jared Allen's not playing, but the Heat were without Butler and Rozier and their best shooter off the bench, Duncan Robinson, had a back injury that kept him from really playing. He only played because they were injured in other spots, and he had to give them like 4 or 5 minutes, and he wasn't effective. So I think the comparison should end there. Two different teams as far as health, and when the best player can be the best player in a series, when the Cavs' best player can be the best player in a series, I think it changed the equation. I think the Celtics will still win, but the Cavs have to do what they did last night. They had a nice run to end the second half, the end of the second quarter that got them back from the game and kept the Celtics from building any distance, because the Celtics were having a good quarter until that point. They won it anyway, but the Cavs' stretch in the last couple of minutes kept them in it, got the game tied, and then they ran away with it in the third and fourth quarter. Their ability to make shots was big, and Evan Mobley, he had to deal with the slander that went his way. Brian Windhorst was part of it, said Evan Mobley in his years in the NBA hasn't developed an offensive game, and then Mobley realized, wait a minute, I got guys like Al Horford and Luke Kornet and Sam Hauser trying to check me. Maybe I should impose myself offensively. And he did that in the first half. I believe he scored 19 points to keep the Cavs in it. And then Donovan Mitchell got going along with Caris LeVert. And they got going in the third quarter and early parts of the fourth before the Celtics called off the dog. So they win that one. The formula, keep the Celtics within striking distance and watch their flaws start to come to the forefront as they try to find their way through a tight ball game.
Also, do whatever you can to have Derek White have an off night.
Yeah, that too. Like, Derek White can't be what he had been leading up to last night if you're going to win. And Derek White's a very good player, but he's not this offensive weapon that's been unstoppable the last three or four games.
I was going to say, Derek White is not the Celtics' best player.
He can't be the best player night after night if you're going to win a series against them. You can't allow that to happen.
Yeah, it's a point where he's not the best player on the team, but it's something where if he gets going, then you're in trouble.
Yeah.
I saw a stat, or Minel Hassan tweeted out a stat where the Celtics have won their last like 25 games where Derek White attempts 12 3-pointers.
When he gets up 12 threes?
Not makes like over 50%. Just if he is that involved in the offense.
If he feels so good about what he's doing and the game is going so well, if he gets up 12 threes.
If he has the hot hand.
Well, he got up 15 in their game 4-1 against Miami. Got up 10 in their game 5 win. And they got up 12 in their game 1 win against Cleveland. So double-digit threes by Derek White means you're cooked. You're done. If he thinks he can get up that many threes, just wrap it up. And he only got up eight. He got up eight last night. He just only made one of them.
Yeah, so it was three for 11, one for eight.
So that certainly helps. And Derek White only scored 10 points when he had scored 25, 25, and 38 in his previous three games. So the Cavs get that one. And the Mavs go into, I mean, it's not Derek White, but P.J. Washington helping the Mavs win by shooting 7-11 for three. Sometimes when you lose a ball game, all right, man. We can't do anything about P.J. Washington going 7-for-11. Look, if that happens, yeah, we're gonna have a tough time winning a ball game when a 32% shooter goes 7-for-11. We're gonna continue to give them those shots because it's either that or let Luka and Kyrie operate with no help when you're trying to defend them 1-on-1, which is a bad strategy. So the Mavericks go in to Dallas and even that series, and it's been an interesting series for the Mavericks when it comes to dealing with fans along the sideline. You had Luka have a ball thrown away from him when he was trying to grab it in game one, and Kyrie, it was funny. Luka didn't appreciate it, and Kyrie didn't either. He had some words about it last night about how where I'm from, if you do that, he didn't finish the sentence, but I guess he's saying that if you throw a ball away when I'm trying to come get it, we're going to have a real problem. He had a real problem with a fan late in that ball game. He said goodbye, and he called him the P word a couple of times, and like, you know, it's more lip reading. He's yelling at a fan during the middle of the game. The audio, you can't really hear him say it, but you can read his lips. So, and it was on that along that same sideline that he had that Luka and the other fan in game one had an issue. So Kyrie was barking at the fans late in the ball game, as a road player will do if he's felt like he's being talked to disrespectfully. It is funny. I brought it up in the previous show that only because Westbrook played there for so long that Westbrook can't even handle you changing his name a little bit. But you know what Kyrie will do, and it'll be fine. I'm just going to call that fan the P word a couple times, and nothing's going to happen. You know, the NBA is going to see that and go, the game's the game, I guess. He can call one of our patrons the P word several times, and you know what's going to happen? Nothing.
Just don't throw a ball at him.
Yeah. Well, you only get four for that. Just keep the ball in play, and we'll be good. You can't throw a ball at a fan, but you can throw stuff at a referee, and you can call a fan the P word several times as you're wrapping up the ball game. So
I think I'm good with that.
Yeah, I'm fine. I mean, once again, I'm not looking for anyone to get suspended. I'm just looking at what is deemed inappropriate and what is deemed like, it's whatever. You can have that conversation if you so choose. It's okay. And, you know, the fans are giving it right back. So I think that's where the NBA, where they draw the line. Just don't throw basketballs at people who paid to be there. If you want to throw something at a guy we're paying to be there, like a ref, we're good. And Jamal Murray, we heard from him. The audio's not great, but he pretty much said, I'm moving on. I did what I did. It's okay. One of the reporters was like, did you talk to anyone and you know, about an apology? And Jamal Murray's like, you got a basketball question? And the reporter's like, no, I don't. And Jamal Murray's like, okay, no, you don't. So I'm not going to answer any more of your questions. He didn't drop, hey, subscribe to my podcast. But he wasn't interested in answering questions about that. He just wants to move on. Look, if I had Jaden McDaniels and Nikhil Alexander-Walker and Anthony Edwards to deal with, I wouldn't want to answer any questions either. I got to focus all my energy on dealing with them while I've got a lower leg injury.
That'd be great if he's like, listen, I got enough on my plate, all right?
We're down 0-2. I got to deal with those three.
These guys are going to be on my ass for 48 minutes coming up.
Yeah, I don't have the energy to answer your questions. I got stuff to deal with, and we'll see how they...
I'm not apologizing to nobody. You know I'm not apologizing to Jaden McDaniels. Guy is ruining my life right now.
Yeah, I'm miserable. You should be thanking me that I didn't do anything else last in that game. I don't know if Mark Davis will call another game in that series, but Mark Davis was one of the game two refs, so he's had an interesting couple of days. Jamal Murray and then Rick Carlisle yelling at him for a lack of calls, and we mentioned earlier that Rick Carlisle got the $35K fine from the NBA for his complaints about the officiating. So tonight we've got Knicks Pacers, and the Knicks are playing without OG Anunoby. Jalen Brunson's questionable, but he's expected to play. So can the Knicks get through this series as the bodies keep dropping? OG Anunoby, I saw, won't play tonight and is expected to miss game four. We'll see if that changes between now and game four. And then we have, as I mentioned, Denver and Minnesota as Denver tries to get back in the series. So a couple of 0-2 holes for two teams. one home, one and away. Do I think the Nuggets are done? I guess the question will be, will they get officiated the same way? I'm not even saying that Minnesota is doing anything wrong, but will Minnesota allow, will they be allowed to be as physical on defense as they were in game two? Because if they are, we can pack the Nuggets up, I think. If the Nuggets benefit from the calls not going the Wolves' way, I think we got a shot for a competitive series. And I don't want to overreact. I know it happened in Denver, and Minnesota looked, particularly in game two, untouchable. But maybe it's the curse of Rudy Gobert. Maybe he comes back and they're worse defensively despite him winning a defensive player of the year. That's the only...
Think about that sentence that you just
said. I know it's crazy, but how can I look at what happened in game two and the way that they defended without him and go, you know what?
Probably nothing.
Yeah. You know what? How can I give Denver a chance when the defensive player of the year is coming back, which you think would make them more defensive, make them better defensively? The only hope has to be that the particular way they're going to defend with Rudy Gobert makes them susceptible to what Denver wants to do.
But, I mean, it doesn't, though.
Because, I don't think so.
Because they're not – the Nuggets aren't some – they can't go to a what is in the past given Gobert some trouble and go five out and just, you know, have him guard someone who's standing in the corner. It's like, well – they play
Center.
They play a traditional center who can step out, sure. But that's not even who Gobert is guarding a lot of times. A lot of times he's on Gordon anyway, and the Nuggets don't really have a person to take Gordon off the court and put in that spot that can stand in a corner and draw Gobert away from the basket. So,
and I think
at a certain point,
Go ahead.
At a certain point, like, you just had to play with the best five that you got, and that's obviously their starting lineup that won the championship last year. Was their two seed this year?
Yeah, and if they hadn't lost to the Spurs, they would have been a one seed.
All the top three seeds are separated by like a game, So that you just have to, like you said, hope that either the whistle's better or just play through it. Just play through.
Meet the moment. They didn't meet the moment early in game two, and that cost them.
Yeah, the Minnesota only needs a whistle like they've gotten the last two games. They only need it for two more of the theoretical six or five games that are left. So it's always a tough spot. If you're the Denver Nuggets, kind of have to get both these Minnesota games, which is tough. Yeah. You have to get both. You have to win game three and four.
Yeah, if you even survive not getting swept and go down 3-1, it's going to be rough and almost, in at least my eyes, impossible to beat that Minnesota three times as long as they're healthy three times in a row. Considering you do have to go back to Minnesota, and they've already shown they don't mind beating you on your home court. So, Denver in dire straits. We'll see if all that Heart of the Champion stuff saves them in game three. You would think it'd be their best effort. And we'll see if Minnesota, who handled the whole, hey, you already got your one, they handled that well. They weren't satisfied. Will they handle being up 2-0 well and the fact that, hey, you got some breathing room, or will they go for the kill and try to knock Denver out tonight? We'll see how that plays out. We'll get more into the Astros because they won a game. We shouldn't take these for granted. They won a game, and my favorite Astro played really, really well, or pitched really, really well. So we'll get back into the Astros and some of the numbers that, at least for Blanco, are good. The rest of the lineup, or at least the rest of the team, not so great. As we continue on the show, and remember, 11:30, Michael Carroll will join us. We'll be back.
ESPN 97.5.
You're back inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Del Olalea. I mean, you're not actually in the studio, but if you watch ESPN Houston's YouTube channel, it's kind of like you are. No, not really? Okay.
Not really. So, the Astros get the win yesterday. They eked it out, thanks to John Singleton made a great play defensively in the ninth inning, as Hader was... You know, he had to get his four outs, so that means we always got to be a little nervous with Josh Hader. But now that he's got his big deal, I guess we can expect him to pitch more than one inning, because that wasn't what he was doing in San Diego. So Ronel Blanco, 5 2/3 innings, and he's been the Astros' best pitcher. And it's crazy to say, considering all the accolades the other guys have gotten, the titles, the Cy Youngs when it comes to Verlander, but he's a stopper. Nominally your fifth starter, but if there's anyone else on the mound, I'm a little nervous. Thankfully, now he didn't have a spectacular outing. Once again, I still think that the two-run homer was, you know, that's just being in Yankee Stadium. I thought that ball probably would have stayed in the ballpark in a lot of other places, but hey, it gets out, but he recovers, and then thanks to Brian Abreu, he gets him out of that sixth inning, and then Brian Abreu was good in the seventh, and then Presley gives up his requisite run, and Hader almost tried to do it too, but you win. And the fact that Singleton and Blanco are big contributors in games now, I mean, it's great for those guys, and we're lauding John Singleton. The power is there, but he's hitting under 240 overall for the season, but much better than the guy they sent to Florida. And we'll see if he ever comes back in. And he's certainly not the problem. Singleton isn't the problem. And he may not be a solution, but we'll take what we can get. And now we see Detroit and A.J. Hinch. And I saw someone tweet, hey, we got to be on the lookout. He didn't mention A.J. Hinch by name, but he said the manager in Detroit is known to cut corners, known to mess with the system. So we got to be on the lookout for that guy to take any advantage that he can to go try to win this series. All right. We're referencing something that happened like 7 years ago now. But and A.J. Hinch noted against the cheating. Broke a couple computers to make sure the guys knew he was upset, even though he let them continue to do it.
Yeah, he didn't. I was about to say he went, stop it. But actually, he did less than that. He did less than actually verbally say stop
it. He didn't
even
say stop it. He just let everyone know he didn't like it.
Passive-aggressive. Yeah. Are you ready for the Astros, to lose tonight's game and then everyone be like, why don't they just walk across the field and just hire A.J. Hinch?
I'm going to need that conversation not to begin.
Okay.
I'm ready for it because I'm ready for anything in a season like this. What I hope is that Fromber pitches well, they win, and we don't have to have a conversation about A.J. Hinch all the time, because A.J. Hinch now, with the Tigers being better than the Astros.
Yeah, he's on a better team.
Yeah. We're going to have these conversations about, hey, let's make a trade, a spotter for Hinch. No, I hope that we can just focus on what's on the field, which would mean they win, because when they play poorly, it becomes a conversation about everything else but what's happening on the field. For the most part, it's about Bagwell and Abreu not being around and all the bad decisions that are being made. The best thing to wipe away the stink of decisions you don't like is for the team to play better.
Yeah. So is this a weekend
where we're talking more about?
No, where the Yankee series, it was. Just got to come away with something.
Yeah, which
this
we
weekend,
did.
Are we asking for two somethings?
Oh, what I want. Yes.
Win the series.
Let's win a series.
Win the day. No, win the next 2 days.
What are we?
Or at least win two of the next 3 days.
Yeah, win two out of the next 3 days. How bad they've been, the sweep would obviously be the best. But two out of three, let's win a series. You're coming off not winning a series in New York. And if you can win the series in Detroit, you feel less bad about what's going on. And then you can start to maybe convince yourself that there is something to hope for. I'm not at that point. I'm just going game. I'm a game at a time guy now.
Wow.
I'm a true baseball guy now.
Yeah, just taking one game at a time.
Momentum is the next day starting pitcher, Sean. And we got Fromber on the mound. Let's build some momentum.
The Astros have, at least theoretically, the three best starters coming up this series, right? It would be Fromber, Javier, Verlander.
Yeah, we're getting. Oh, that's the other thing. We're getting Javier back, so that hopefully means the end. It has to mean the end of one of them: Hunter Brown or Spencer Arrighetti. What we talked about getting Hunter Brown out of here, cosplay Verlander, and by the way, Brian, I see what you did. I'm not gonna blow his cover, but I see what you did. I've seen what you've done, McDonald. I've seen it.
I don't know what he did.
I'll tell you during the break. I need. Arrighetti wasn't good.
No,
but I think I will stick with him for one more start than having to deal with Hunter Brown again. So I need Javier to replace Hunter Brown permanently. That's what I'm hoping for.
Brown has done bullpen stuff before. Could maybe be a Sean Dubin leaves the bullpen and Hunter Brown takes a spot as the mop-up guy. This game is lost anyway.
Sure.
Sean Dubin.
Sure. Just throw Hunter Brown out there and see if he can find himself.
Yeah. That's really what I'm talking about, is more about still being able to get developed in Houston as opposed to having to really soul search in Sugarland.
And that's likely the scenario if we're having a discussion about him coming out of the rotation. I wouldn't think they're sending him down.
It's not out of the question. I'd be a little surprised.
Could they value Sean Dubin coming in games that don't matter anymore over Hunter Brown continuing to be on the big club and actually getting the pitch in low leverage situations? Like, they sent Abreu away allegedly to find himself. They could do that on the major league level with Hunter Brown and go, you know what? It's 8-4 here. It's probably too close. It's 9-2 here. You want to go out there and try to get a couple outs and try to find yourself in a low leverage situation? I could see that being the case.
Yeah, I mean it's not like a interesting thing, but it's just what do they feel like would be best for his development, either going down or still learning at the major league level.
Yeah, that'd be the
just
question.
Out the bullpen.
Do they think, obviously they want him to be a starter, do they think it'd be better for him just to continue to be a starter but just pitching to AAA competition? I don't know.
Because with Arrighetti, I think he is a starter either in Houston or Sugarland.
Yeah.
I don't think there's the bullpen option for Arrighetti because he's a little bit younger on his developmental, and so he needs just to have as many starts as he can.
In one place or the other.
Yes, whereas Hunter Brown is a little bit farther along, and again, he has bullpen experience. He came up in the bullpen.
Well, Espada talked about it, the conversation we're having. He said that Hunter Brown could be available in the bullpen for the next couple of days, so maybe that's a harbinger of things to come.
I think that is a harbinger of things to come. I think that's exactly what, because saying he could be available the next few days, I don't think he's going to use him in the bullpen and then I don't think he's going to start 3 days later. I don't think we're at 3 days rest.
Well, yeah, but my point was really the next couple of days, and then Javier comes back and then they need a roster spot, so they send him down. That's what I mean. But it could be a harbinger of a permanent spot in the rotation, in the bullpen, as long as guys are healthy.
Yeah, okay.
That's what I mean. I don't think they're going to go to Hunter Brown and say, we really need 5 innings out of you in a big moment here.
Like it's game 5 of the World Series.
I don't think that's going to be the approach in the middle of May. Yes. I just meant that possibly it just means he's going to have a permanent spot in that bullpen going forward. Will it be an important spot? Maybe it's just Sean Dubin's spot. Anything to get Hunter Brown right. Because at some point, maybe not this year, at some point the Astros are going to need him because guys get older, particularly Verlander, and you want one of your young pitchers to be ready to go, even if he's not ready this year. Coming up next, we'll talk to Michael Carroll. What should you watch, in theaters or at home? He'll provide those answers for you, and we'll get maybe a preview of what he thinks you should watch, or at least what you should be excited about for the summer. And certainly we'll get him to create a list for us. And maybe not his next appearance, because, you know, we got a couple weeks before some of those summer shows begin. But if we're going to lean on anyone for that particular subject matter, it'll be Michael Carroll. So we'll talk to him when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
And action.
It's Friday, and so you're probably wondering, what am I going to watch this weekend? Besides all the sports, of course. If you're not sure if you should go to the theater or stay home and binge something, we got you covered on the Del Olalea Show. Time to talk about what you should be watching this weekend with Del Olalea, Sean Mapes, and some guy named Michael Carroll.
Some guy is here. We had that guy this week, Eric Layden. You would recognize the face, but maybe not the name if you're watching a television show or a movie. Michael Carroll is some guy, and normally this would be the time where I start meandering about his comic book podcast. It's not a comic book podcast specifically, but a lot about comics. Also, I'd be like, is it a Friday night, and what time is it? Because I never remember what time it is. But before we do that, Michael Carroll has some breaking news.
Yeah, I do.
Thank you for that, Sean. I appreciate that. I believe all three of us here are Shogun fans, correct?
Yes.
Now,
yes, this... Michael Sama.
Thank you for that. I really now feel official.
Respect.
I appreciate that. So, obviously, the show was billed as a limited series,
it was.
Right?
That's what they were pushing.
That's what it sold me as.
That's what it sold as.
Sean's like, I'm not reading 20 episodes of subtitles. Yeah, I was only good for 10. Yeah.
Well, according to Deadline, just, I don't know, like 20 minutes ago, Hiroki Sanada, the star and producer of the show who played Lord Torinaga, is closed a deal to return as Torinaga for a season 2.
So they lied. Or... Hey, look how successful this thing is.
Yeah.
We can't give up this bag.
We got Sean Mapes reading subtitles watching this.
It's success right now. Yeah. So apparently it's being switched from a limited series for Emmys, and it's being switched to a drama series. So it seems like they're pushing. It's not for sure yet, but it seems like we're heading that way to a season 2 of Shogun.
So it's season 2 of Shogun. Will it affect the quality? Because the book was for one season. Now they have to come up with original stories.
They covered everything from the first book.
Yeah, so how will they adapt? Because we saw what happened in the show. It's been compared to quite a bit what happened after they ran out of reading material.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, don't hire those two jokers.
Yeah. Benioff and Weiss. Don't hire them for season 2. It doesn't look like they will. They appear to be focused on three body problems and other things. So... Michael Carroll, the breaking news is Shogun, at least the star of Shogun, one of the stars, has signed a deal that would lead you to believe a season 2 is coming. I wonder how that show will be without Monica. How that show, because she was a central figure of that.
Yeah.
Now, the story was about Torinaga's manipulations and what he wanted and what he didn't want. But as far as the heart and all the, because she tied in everyone
She's
together.
She's a big part, yeah.
So how will they build that show around someone new, despite him being a major character. So if you love Shogun, you wanted a season 2, it looks like we're well on our way there. Now, Michael Carroll broke that news on this show because it wasn't available for him to break it on Comicast. But Comicast is a podcast you can find on Apple and Spotify, all the places where podcasts can be located. And also, you can find it here on ESPN 97.5 at 9 p.m. tonight. And Michael, what did you talk about this week?
This week, it's all about mainly X-Men 97. Because that show's been just phenomenal so far. And we are going through, like, we're in the build-up. We're leading up to Comic Palooza, which is the big, obviously, comic convention that's here in the city of Houston, happening at George R. Brown Convention Center on Memorial Day weekend, May 24th through the 26th. So in the lead-up to that, with episodes predating it, we are looking at different things that are on the schedule that we're like highlighting, just looking forward to, or if we want to check them out or anything like that. This one, we are talking about the Friday schedule. Next week, we'll talk about Saturday schedule and so on and so forth. So it's a lot of X-Men and Comic Palooza.
We had a couple calls about X-Men earlier. Julian, who had been banned for a week, called in and almost got another one because he spoiled some things. I was trying to avoid spoiling, but
He almost
violated parole in his first call back. So we'll see how he manages parole for the next couple of weeks. So you mentioned Comicast. Mm-hmm. We've mentioned the breaking news of Shogun.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to put you on a spot for this week, but I do want you to compile a list of what we should be looking forward to for the summer.
Gotcha.
Maybe we don't do it next week. We hold it back for a couple weeks from now. But, you know, summer, particularly the month of June, is a time where a lot of things that fit what we talk about are going to come on. So maybe we build a top five for the summer, and you bring us that in a couple weeks. But let's stick with this week. Your top suggestion, whether it be a movie to go see or something to watch at home.
Top pick is an easy one for me this week. And I'm not going to lie. I'm biased about this because I love this franchise.
Okay.
At least the rebooted version of this franchise. I like the old school ones too, but like this new version that we're getting is phenomenal so far. But Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes comes out this weekend. It's doing very well so far. It's sitting at an 81% with critics, 82% with audiences on Rotten Tomatoes. That movie is out now. Go watch it. Like, just go, whatever you're doing. I know you're working. I know, whatever. Just leave.
Leave
just,
Mother's
just
Day.
Just leave.
Okay.
Mom, she'll be fine. She'll be fine. Just go. Or take her.
Take her.
Take her to see. She'll appreciate it.
Take her to see the talking monkeys.
Yeah. Excuse me? Apes. Thank you.
You got a point.
Apes together strong.
Apes together strong.
That's on me. By the way, fitting into to the pop culture, the one human voice, or excuse me, the human face you see quite a bit in the promo is the woman who plays Ciri from The Witcher. So if that face looks familiar to the people who are locked into this particular segment, it's Ciri from The Witcher, which unfortunately has Nala Hemsworth leading the charge.
Oh no.
Let my boy Hemsworth catching strays. Liam, right?
Yeah.
Not Luke.
And yeah, you got dumped by Katniss. I don't want you in The Witcher.
And I do want to add, like, for folks that maybe like, oh, I didn't watch the first three. This one is set like years and years, like almost like generations after the last three. So you don't necessarily have to have watched the last three to appreciate it, but you'd probably be okay.
I actually want to interject here.
What?
And having recently rewatched the first three, you should rewatch the first. The first three are really good movies.
100%. Yes, I'm not saying don't rewatch them. I would always go rewatch them at any time.
They're all on Hulu because for a while they're all on like different streamers. Now they're all on Hulu. And again, I watched them all a couple weeks ago. And they're all very good. They're all better than you remember. And with the reviews that this one is getting, I'm ready to have some. I'll watch Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes first. I'll watch the new one. I'm ready to have some conversations about where Planet of the Apes lands among the franchises in our pop culture world.
I was going to say low key the original trilogy, or not original, but like the most recent three movies is low key one of the better trilogies out there.
There's some real Mark Wahlberg erasure going on right now.
It's okay. I can erase that all day.
I liked that one when I was a kid. I'll say that.
As a kid,
spoiler alert, Abraham Lincoln at the very end.
Shout out to Tim Burton for making that reveal.
Shout out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a move. Yeah. Like, he checked. He shot the ball and turned around before it went in.
Was it Abraham Lincoln?
I don't
know. Was that the name they gave him?
No. I don't think they actually gave him that name. That's the name I gave him. I was hoping you'd blow past that.
No, I won't.
You know.
Never.
I thought I heard that, but Abraham. I wasn't sure. No. Well, skip the 2001 one.
Okay.
Watch the 2011 through 2017, those three movies.
Also watch the 1968 one. That one's good, too. Yeah, whatever year that came out.
Yeah, that I think it's 1968.
Yeah, Charlton Heston sang Damn Dirty Apes. I mean.
He said that with some.
He said it with his chest.
Yes, he did.
Yes.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Which, like, apparently Wes Ball, the director for this new one, because Matt Reeves did the last two, and obviously he's doing Batman and all that stuff. So Wes Ball, who did the most recent, but like the film adaptation of The Maze Runner and all that.
Okay.
He's doing this. He talked about like they're still a ways away from reaching that like same time point that they had back in 1968 in terms of what Charlton Heston's character was doing in the Planet of the Apes, like that timeline of events. Like we're still ways away from that, but it's building up to that.
We got potentially several more movies.
Oh yeah, this
okay.
Apparently, this rejuvenates it in a different way.
Okay, that
it has story to tell.
So, are we going to get a spaceman at some point? You think?
I mean, if you watch the first one, there is a teaser to that.
Yeah,
there is a subtle like tease to that. So, I wouldn't be shocked if we get that at some point.
Okay. Aaron, we see you. We'll get to you before we wrap it up. You want to talk about Shogun? Maybe this breaking news that Michael Carroll brought to us. So, at the forefront is Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes.
100%. Yeah.
Do you have something for people who may decide this isn't the weekend they travel to a theater?
Yeah. So there's a couple that I'm interested in for Netflix. There's Boatkin, I think is how you say it.
I've watched the first couple episodes.
What'd you think of that so far?
I like the lead actress. I think her name's Siobhan Cullen. Of course, it's Irish, so if there's a B and an H in there, you don't think that's sound like Siobhan. But she was in. I'm trying to think of the show. It was a show on Hulu that I blanking on the name, where she plays a woman who is like, she's not Dexter per se,
right?
But she's in the mode of killing people who upset her, and they're bad people, and she's like finding the positives, and I can't remember the side. I'll bring it up when I look it up. I like the first couple, like Will Forte kind of throws me out of it because he's obviously he's got a certain vibe, and I don't know if it fits this particular dreary dark show,
right?
But it's a dark comedy, so I guess that's why he's there to kind of kind of lighten the mood a
like
little bit.
Like watching the clips and trailers, it feels like it's in the vein of Only Murders in the Building.
Kind of, yeah.
Which I like that show. I really like Only Murders. I haven't watched the most recent season, but
I'm kind of in that same spot with you.
I really like the early season or two of Only Murders in the Building. So, like, I saw this and I was like, oh, okay, this sounds like an intriguing and it looks interesting. I want to dive into that. I also want to dive into Blood of Zeus, which is a Western anime.
Oh, yeah.
Season two is out now.
When I saw the preview, or it's coming in on May 9th, whatever it was, I watched or May 10th now. Did it come out last night or tonight?
I think it's today.
So I saw it come up on my algorithm that it was going to come out. So I rewatched season one a couple weeks ago. I love that. I love that one. So I'm going to watch that. Thank you for reminding me.
You're welcome.
The show is Obituary. It's on Hulu. If you want to watch first, before you watch the Planet of the Apes trilogy, Obituary is really different. Because there are no talking apes, but it is pretty good. That's where Siobhan Cullen, the star of Botkin,
oh,
is.
Oh, okay.
That's the show that kind of alerted me to her and her talent. So, yeah. But I appreciate Blood of Zeus.
Yeah, Blood of Zeus is low-key really good. Yeah. I really like that. Also, for folks that may have not caught it last year when it came out, The Iron Claw is out streaming now on Max.
Okay.
You also have Doctor Who, the new season of that on Disney Plus.
With Chuti, I'm blanking on his last name.
I'm not gonna.
But I think his first name is Chuti, and maybe Ngawa. Don't exactly remember how to pronounce his last name. He's one of the stars of Sex Education. He was also one of the Kens in the Barbie movie.
Yes,
he's the new doctor.
Yes, so he's out. Like that's out. I think like coming out later today on Disney Plus.
Okay.
Interview with a Vampire season two for folks that are interested in that on AMC this Sunday. Dark Matter, the new show on Apple TV Plus is out. With Joel Edgerton
and Jennifer Connelly.
Yeah. Mixed things about that. So okay. I'm not saying like go watch it. It's like I don't know about that one.
Yeah,
like I just putting it out there if folks want to check it out.
Yeah, Apple TV's lean really into sci-fi because even their new show, well, spoiler. Joe Sugar is not what you think it is when you watch it. I've watched a Colin Farrell star that it's a detective kind of noir thing, and then there's this mystery thing that's going on with him that you find out in the most recent episode. I think there's an episode coming out either last night or today where you're like, oh, okay, this explains why he is the way he is.
Mm-hmm.
They've leaned into their sci-fi angle with mixed results.
Yeah. They really have. So, I reading up on reviews of that one, I just was like, eh. I don't know. Like, there was one article that said Joel Edgerton's in a multiverse of badness because of, like, apparently all the more recent things that he's done. And I was like, I mean, I guess. I don't know. Like, yeah, but it's mixed. I don't know.
Okay. So that one is you Michael Carroll's not going to.
I don't have a don't watch pick this week, but that's leaning towards that.
So don't blame Michael if you don't like it. That's all I'm saying.
That's all I'm saying.
He just mentioned it because it's coming out.
Yeah.
Aaron, we'll get to him before we go to break. Aaron, what's up, man?
Yeah, I was wondering if you guys knew that Shogun has an English dub.
Yeah. And
me, myself, I didn't find out until the second to last episode, but you can watch it in English.
I do know that, but I think at least myself and Michael are kind of hoity-toity when it comes to that stuff.
Yeah.
We'll read the subtitles before we listen to the mix mash of English versus the guy speaking Japanese on the television.
Yeah.
Kind of takes me out of it.
I like, it's funny because like with shows like Shogun or something like that, I'm more willing to watch subtitles, but if it's like an anime, I'm probably leaning more towards English dub.
Yeah, if it's an anime, I'm with you. I'm not going to sit through an animated show and read subtitles. I don't have to. Yeah, but I get your point, Aaron. Understood.
It's out there, though, for people.
Yeah, if the barrier is I don't want to read subtitles, there is an English dub. Well, Sean, at least he read them.
I didn't know until Aaron just called in. I G'd up and did it the old-fashioned way, right?
Yeah.
I put my big boy pants on and read that.
I read a TV show for 10 episodes.
Yeah, except for select John Blackstone parts. I read that whole thing.
Yeah.
I basically read the book, honestly. I'm just going to walk around saying I read Shogun.
And then you'd be right. And then even at the end, John Blackstone was speaking enough Japanese where you didn't even get that reprieve at the very end of the show.
I might actually just learn Japanese for season two.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to get Duolingo for that?
Yeah. I think it depends on how the Texas football season goes.
How much time do I got?
Yeah. Quinn Ewers
get ready to learn Japanese, buddy.
Yeah. Quinn Ewers is the quarterback you think he kind of is.
Yeah.
Then you might get into Japanese. Aaron, we appreciate it, man. Yeah, that is an option for you. Because we talked a lot about that show, and if you think that the subtitles are going to keep you from watching it, they do provide an English option for you as well.
Yeah. It's good. It's a good tool to get people in that maybe aren't willing to read subtitles.
Sure. Sure. It's the only reading I've done for anything beyond sports stories in years. reading subtitles on TV shows. Michael, I want to thank you. Michael Carroll, always with us when he can. Certainly he's a busy guy. In fact, he brought me copy that I'm going to have to read because it's a busy time. So I'll get to that after the show. We got one more segment to go. Remember, Comicast from 9 to 10 here on the station, 97.5 on Fridays. It's Michael Carroll and John Lee, the host of that. And also, if you want to listen to it uninterrupted, right?
Yes,
you can watch
yes.
it. You can listen to it on Spotify and Apple and all the podcast spots.
Every podcast platform you can think of, it's available now.
It is there for you, certainly. Mm-hmm. But Michael Carroll, once again, thank you for that. We got one more segment in the week. We'll be back.
Loaded, ready to rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
It'll be a quick one here before we hand it over to Gallant and George. I mentioned getting to this, and the quick Quinn Ewers conversation leads right into this. Post-spring CFP projections. There's so much time between now and when that's actually going to matter. But hey, we got 3 minutes left in the show. Why not talk about it right now? So, this comes from CBS Sports, and the top 25 rankings don't matter right now. But if we're trying to project playoff seeding, I mean, they kind of fit with the predictions people have made throughout the spring. And right now, who do you think the number one overall seed would be, Sean?
Ohio State.
They're two.
Georgia?
Yes.
Okay.
Georgia is the number one overall seed in this particular projection. Utah, of all teams, is number three.
Wow.
Your doppelganger at quarterback.
Huh.
That one I'm surprised by.
Let me look up their schedule. Because if they go undefeated, then they'll probably
be. I guess in the Big 12, they think a weaker Big 12, maybe they get to number three overall.
I don't know. They have to play Deion.
Yeah. I'm not particularly worried about Deion Sanders.
I don't know. We don't know.
You're right. We don't know because that game doesn't happen until later.
Until
in the future.
At least 5 months.
Yeah, you're right. I don't know because it is in the future. But I'm just going to assume that they won't have any issues with the Colorado Buffaloes. They haven't had any issues with them for years.
November 16th.
So late in the year, you calling Deion a playoff spoiler candidate?
Hey, I'm just saying that they're going to be looking for revenge. Oh, they only lost – or the Utah only beat them 23-17 last year, so –
Well, that was without Cameron Rising.
That's true.
Now, Cam,
my
back,
goat.
Your goat, your twin is back. So Utah is the one Big 12 representative that they have making the CFP playoff out of 12. You got Boise State as the non-Power 5 representative, along with Notre Dame as the – Notre Dame's kind of in a class of their own when it comes to that stuff. But as far as group of six, or whatever the hell you want to call the non-Power 5, Boise State is part of that. And you got Alabama, Texas in, Ole Miss in, Missouri in, and Georgia. So you have, if I look at that, you have, what, five SEC schools, and then you have, according to this projection, Ohio State and Penn State as the only Big Ten schools. Oh, Oregon too. So you have three Big Ten schools. Got to remember, Oregon's in the Big Ten.
I know. Every time I do that, because I do the same thing where I look at it, and it's got way harder the last 12 months.
So five SEC schools. Three Big Ten schools, one Big 12 school. Then you've got Notre Dame and Boise in there as well.
What's the ACC?
Clemson. Clemson's the one. And
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you gotta pick the ACC winner. Who do you think is winning that conference? You know, I'm never gonna say my team.
Yeah, I mean, I would put it between your team and FSU.
Really? You think despite. Not really knowing who their quarterback. Well, I guess it's DJ. You think DJ Uiagalelei is going to lead them to an ACC title?
I'm saying against Clemson?
Because they got to play him this year.
I'm saying it's between your school and DJU. All right? this conference is not.
But that's why you have. But they have Clemson as a top four seed.
I don't know.
Well, I guess it's kind of how it works, right?
Do we think Clemson's that good?
I don't think Cade Klubnik's very good at quarterback.
Did you see the stat? Yes, you're right about that. Did you see the stat where the only teams that did not have a incoming transfer this portal season, not just in the fall, but both windows, it was Army, Navy, Air Force, obviously. Mm-hmm. That's easy. And the only other team, Clemson.
I saw it, and I'm not surprised because Dabo isn't down with that. They always lean on the Clemson family stuff, and we recruit them since they were young. And if you pick Clemson, then you're in, and if you don't, you're not. I'm not surprised by it at all.
It just feels like there's going to be this is the slow regression, and they're not going to be bad, but I just don't think they're going to win the conference. That's all I'm saying, is that other teams, like your team, is filling its holes. They didn't have a quarterback. They went and took – well, they took two out of the portal. They didn't have a running back. They added Damian Martinez. Like,
yeah, they added a receiver from Houston, yeah.
That's just something that Clemson is not doing, and they also don't recruit like Georgia. So, and even Georgia takes transfer.
So yeah, you are depending on hitting on your original recruiting classes and a high level.
And you don't have Trevor Lawrence, Deshaun Watson,
generational quarterback to make up for some of your recruiting mistakes.
Klubnik's like,
he's fine.
Yeah,
we saw him last year. He's fine. I don't think he's going to be more than maybe good. Yeah, maybe
he's an ACC quarterback. Yeah. He's like an average ACC.
He's like Riley Leonard, who Notre Dame grabbed and is now their starting quarterback as long as he can stay healthy. Yeah, I think that's more by default because the top 25 has them as like the 14th or 15th best team in the country, but because they play for a Power 5 school, they get bumped up to a 4 seed because they won their conference. So he doesn't think they're going to be that good. He just thinks their seeding will be high enough because they happen to be in that power five or now a Power 4, I guess.
That's Power 4. More understandable. I just would have picked a different team.
Yeah. Well, you let us know. So really Clemson at 4 by default because you have to put a Power 4 school there, I guess, unless Boise State overcame them in the rankings. That'll wrap it up for us today. Gallant and George are up next, followed by the Killer Bees. I'll talk to you on Monday.
ESPN 97.5.